Hello, friends, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 13th of February. I'm your host, Paul White. Thank you for joining me today on the podcast. This weekend was supposed to be the weekend of the opening of my son's college baseball season, but as of this recording, it looks like it's going to be so far below freezing that no baseball will happen. I try to throw out an update or two on the podcast throughout each spring, just to let those of you know how he's doing that are into that sort of thing or concerned. And so we, at our house, we're praying for a little warmer weather in his part of the world. Maybe when that happens, we can have some baseball. Feels like there hasn't been, I hadn't got to see him play in any capacity for quite some time, so we were pretty excited about that. Of course, it's Valentine weekend, so I'm hoping you have plans with the one you love this weekend, whatever that looks like for you. We pray a special blessing and time together as you try to find space for that. Hopefully, you don't wait until Valentine's Day or Valentine's Day weekend to find space to show the people you love that you love them. But I do know that that's a big weekend or a big deal for some people. And so I pray blessings on you in that capacity this weekend. I'm using this Saturday to, I'm going to hit a text here in a moment from Jeremiah, but I'm using this as well as a way to introduce not only that thought, I've been meaning to tell you for days about the upcoming baseball season for my son, but also to introduce the weekend sermon that airs on Sundays. This weekend will be the release of our January monthly meeting from Flowery Branch, Georgia. We are doing a monthly meeting in South Carolina and a monthly meeting in Georgia each month, or the fourth weekend of the month when our schedule permits. We're trying to establish that as a thing. I aired last week the message from Chapin, Made Worthy by Faith. Tomorrow we air the message from Georgia. It's back into our continuing series on Silencing the Lamb. These are a series of sermons we've done in which we're trying to establish the vocal power of Jesus, who he is and why it's important to take heed to his words above all other words. And the message is titled, For He Who Has Ears to Hear. This is a weighty and meaty message. There's a lot of information in it. It's 57 minutes long. There's not a lot of fat. We get to work and cram a lot of goodness into it. There's some very, very important eschatological work that we do in this message, to try and take the tape off the mouth of the Lamb in regards to some things Jesus says in the Gospels about the end of the age, particularly what he says about John the Baptist being Elijah, and what that would have meant to an audience of Jews, and why that is important for us as we study it. There were four moments in the Gospels in which Jesus used the phrase, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." There are seven moments in the Revelation in which Jesus speaks to the seven churches of Asia, in which he says, "He who has ears to hear." We cover two of the four moments from the Gospels in tomorrow's sermon for He Who Has Ears to Hear. In the February meeting, which is coming up in 2 weeks, we will cover the other two moments in the Gospels. And then if all goes well in the March meeting, we will start trying to cover those seven moments in the book of Revelation in which he says, "For he who has ears to hear." Because in those statements, we are hearing the most imperative things Jesus has to say to us in his earthly ministry, and the most imperative things he has to say to the church across time. And therefore, we should definitely pay attention, because we have ears to hear, and we definitely want to hear what he is saying to the church. Check out For He Who Has Ears to Hear tomorrow. Wherever you get this podcast, it will be available right there. If you prefer a video version, our YouTube page is PWM. And if you just want to go to the central hub to find it all, you can do that at paulwhiteministries.com. The book of Jeremiah has been our focus for the last several days and weeks, at least since the 1st of February, and it will stretch out at least several more days as there's some goodness we want to bring out from the book. In the 30th chapter, there's a moment in Jeremiah chapter 30 that sets us up for something that sort of gets brought to fullness in Jeremiah 31. So I want to take a verse from chapter 30, and then I want to take a verse from chapter 31 to build a little bit of a case that I think Jeremiah is giving a prophetic indication of something that is going to happen in the world of the new covenant. By the way, the 31st chapter of Jeremiah deals with, for the first and only time in the Old Testament, the phrase new covenant. That's going to be the subject of our podcast tomorrow. We're going to dig into Jeremiah's moment. But leading up to that moment, God begins to speak about things he's seeing in Israel and then gives a very prescient moment where he shows what he's going to do that is a new thing in Israel and then introduces the new covenant. So what it says to me is that in the middle of prophecy, while Jeremiah is laying out the case about the condition nationally of Israel and Judah, he is also showing that that condition is going to change under a new covenant, and there's going to be a new way to view the world. Jeremiah 30 and 6, ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with a child. Literally, ask whether a male can give birth. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor and all faces turned pale? Now, again, this is in the prophecy about Israel and Judah, and God sees men with their hands on their loins as if they are in labor. Now, the indication is not that men, this is not leading us to a prophecy that men will be able to bear children, but it is showing men in the position of pain in the way that a woman is in the position of pain in having a child. It's an unusual use of allegory in the Old Testament literature to put a man in the position of a woman, but it will not be a completely unusual position of allegory in the New Covenant, because the New Covenant will soften the edges between the starkness of the genders. I don't mean it will eliminate gender, of course not, but it will eliminate the starkness that existed in the old world between what was perceived to be the superiority of a man and the inferiority of a woman. We find this in its greatest iteration in Paul's letter to the Galatians when he says that in Christ there is neither male nor female, Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free. Paul's way of saying that in Christ, the definitions of man and woman don't mean anything. So that first indicator there in Jeremiah is God looking and going, men having the same allegoric birth pains as a woman. But then it takes flesh in Jeremiah 31. Listen to this prophecy. In verse 22, how long will you gad about, O you backsliding daughter? The Lord has created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall encompass a man. And the word encompass in Jeremiah 31, 22 is the Hebrew for to win or to woo. I will do a new thing in the earth. A woman shall win a man. A woman shall woo a man. I think Jeremiah, and then 31:31, New Covenant. I think Jeremiah is beginning to show that in the New Covenant, there is not the distinction between the genders that has the end result of which is an inequality. I guess you could say, I think you can say, Jeremiah is introducing a very Old Testament way of introducing an equality between men and women that will not be brought to its fullest fruition until the cross, when Christ, where the ground is level at the foot of the cross, brings equality to the genders. We take a step past this tomorrow to introduce the new covenant in Old Testament language. We'll see you then. Have a great day. God bless.